Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live, everybody. I'm your host, Vince Bonfiglio. And welcome to today, Tuesday, July the 5th. Hope everybody had a good 4th of July weekend. Celebrating yesterday with all the fun and festivities of the fireworks. And hopefully your weather held up and you didn't have to deal with natural fireworks in the sky down here in southwestern Virginia. I made it my annual pilgrimage to Whiffle. Started this a few years ago. 3 to be exact, after sitting at home watching fireworks from the local church, which I could see from my deck. Try something different, though. Went to Whiffle a couple years ago and discovered there was a first annual Cedars World Famous Hot Dogs Hot Dog Eating Contest. And I happened to miss that one. So I told my wife I was going to head down to the one. This would have been last year. Well, 2 years ago, I got to enter that, see how good I could do. So I did last year. Surprising myself, I took the third place prize, $25 gift certificate to Skeeters. And, which I enjoyed later on in the year. I didn't have to go back. And I, said, well, let's do it again. The guy that won that year, 2 years ago, was a guy named John Gray. And, boy, he could put him away. It was 15 hot dogs. And there's supposed to be 6 minutes. But somebody forgot their stopwatch. So they just let us eat them until who got done all 15 the fastest. Well, John got it done in 15 in about 4 or 5 minutes. And I got my 15 done. My strategy was to not dunk in the water. Well, that was a big mistake. So, because the first one or two, when I tried that, slowed me down. So, it put me in the third place spot. And the guy that came in second, I don't know what his strategy was or John, Big John's, but because I was concentrating on my own strategy, which didn't work out. Didn't practice. I just went by the seat of my pants and trusted my gut. Pardon the pun. And so I said, well, with the hay. Let's go for another run at it this coming year. Be my second try. I was shooting for second because I knew it would have been a bit impossible. I stuck to my game plan after making the adjustment on the fly last year. And decided to dunk from the get-go. Well, they had us all seated together. The 2015 first, second, and third place finishers. Well, needless to say, Big John won again. This time they did have the watch. 19 hot dogs in 6 minutes. Almost completed the tray. Fell one a little short. And then the guy to finish second didn't get second this year. There's another guy, a couple guys down. I think his last name was Blessing. He must have had the Lord's blessing because he finished, I think, 11 hot dogs in 6 minutes. And guess who was third? Me. Again, I beat the guy to finish second last year, but another guy snuck in ahead of us. Snuck in on me this year, but I couldn't see his strategy. He was further down the table. I was credited with 10 complete hot dogs in 6 minutes. I was halfway through my 11th one when time was called. Of course, you got to finish with in your pie hole. You weren't going to get credited for that anyway. So, lo and behold, 2 years in a row, I take the $25 gift certificate, and I'll be using it a little later on this year, maybe early next year. Maybe what I'm going to do one day, get 20 hot dogs, a cup of water, and try the strategy of the first place guy, if I could do it. He separated the meat from the buns, which you're allowed to do. I went au naturel, left the dog in the bun and just dunked it and went to town. So there was a little bit of racing going on in Whitville, a.k.a. a hot dog eating race. So I think if we were allowed to do the whole 20, I might have taken second because I don't know how much the guy could hold that took second. I think the time, you know, anybody can be fast early on. It's when your belly starts to fill up. Those were the rules. I play by the rules. So I still was on the podium. If you want to go check it out, there's two videos on my Facebook page. If you are a Facebook friend of mine, you'll be able to see. Maybe I could squeeze them into my Twitter feed, or maybe I'll post them on the Garage Talk Live page with a couple of pictures. But it isn't motorsports, but it's sort of kind of racing. So, but here at Garage Talk Live, we talk about a few things that talk about hanging out in the garage. Maybe I'll just revamped ahead is the title of the show. Well, the motto of the show, but basically we're motorsports. But any type of racing is involved. Hey, if I can get American Pharoah or somebody to do an interview, I'd do it. Because it's horsepower, but I think it'll be a little tough to interview a horse. Anyway, most of the series are off this past weekend, except for NASCAR, so we'll get into that in a little bit. I got a lot of audio to play for you, so we'll get into that. Cover the race this past weekend. Run it Saturday night. I was expecting it Sunday night, being, Monday was the holiday, but NASCAR sticking to the Saturday night theme. So, getting it in Saturday night, which is good. And then this weekend, another night race out to Kentucky Motor Speedway. Under the lights there on another mile and a half. But anyway, I'd like to thank everybody and congratulate everybody that competed yesterday. There's a young lady there who said she could eat more than her husband ate four, but at least she gave it a try. So, at least everybody from top three from last year competed. Of course, the inaugural winner wasn't there this year, but he was last year, so he was there to defend his crown. So, we'll just have to see. Next year, What do you think, folks? If you're listening, give me a call. 646-649-1899. Let me know. Should I enter? Should I be a Skeeter's World Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest regular? It's once a year. Hope everybody turns out to check it out next year. Weather was a little sketchy this year, but matter of fact, after the got there a little early, saw some friends, co-workers at the car show downtown with. We'll go give their page a like, and it's a pretty good all-day event. Starts about 2:30 with the car show. There's a band in the middle of Main Street on a stage, and some of the Skeeter's World Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest, which all competitors got a shirt to wear, tank top. If you signed up prior to the day of, they did have some openings to fill. I think they did get the field filled up. I think they were looking for 10. We had 9. There was an empty table next to me. Maybe I should have taken, well, we were allowed to take the leftovers home, but, you know, I really didn't feel like dragging a tray full of semi-soggy hot dogs around. I mean, when I went to Elizabeth Brown Park, where they had the concert, the day long the concert is, which is after the car show, they had a Beach Boys-like type of band. They played all the old Beach Boys, Frankie Valli, Sha-na-na, all the old 50s bands, doo-wop. Shout out to King Arthur from WNJC, doo-wop DJ back in my old area. He would have loved that. He probably would have made a good MC for the event. And then after that, there's the fireworks, which go off about 9 o'clock, which are at Elizabeth, which is Withers Park, which is actually 4 blocks walking distance. So needless to say, I parked my vehicle with my wife and I. We figured out a strategy. We parked but where the fireworks go off, and we walk to Main Street, check out the car show. And from there, she sits and watches the hot dog contest begrudgingly and takes pictures. We got some pictures up. So the organizers of the event took the videos. There were 2 videos up, a starter half and a finish half. And, by the way, they were paying in the camera. You can see me pretty good on the first half, and then in the second half it concentrated more towards the end. But go check that out. I'll have to post them on the Garage Talk Live page. All my Facebook friends were able to check it out if they wanted. A good bit of them did. A lot of congratulatory comments. I have to thank everybody there. But needless to say, when all is said and done, another battle to the finish. There was a tie it was close between me and last year's second place guy. But I was a half a hot dog ahead of him. He had finished 9, I had finished 10. And he was basically sort of using the same strategy as the winner, but instead of chomping down 2 hot dogs, he was chomping down 1. And then following it with a soggy bun. But if I have to do it, I'm going to try it 2 different ways. The strategy, either sticking my own, but I have to go down to Skeeter's World Famous Hot Dogs on Main Street in downtown Wythville. They've been around since, I think, 1929. the building they are housed in was the birthplace of Edith Bowling Wilson. That last name sounds familiar? No, it wasn't the volleyball people. It was President Woodrow Wilson's wife. Not that I'm a fan of his, but of a historical nature, it's pretty cool. There's the Bowling Wilson Hotel right across from Skeeter's, which is a pretty nice place. I was going to check out the rooms and see how fancy-dancy it was. They have a nice restaurant called Gray's on the Main. It's G-R-A-Z-E. Where they have fine dining and probably one of the nicest places to go to in the area without having to drive all the way to Roanoke or Christiansburg or somewhere up that way. Personally, I'll go 20 miles or I'll go half an hour for a dinner at the next town over because usually I'm in that town every day anyway. But to drive an hour, I don't know about that because then place and get really full, then I got to drive an hour back. So, but that's neither here nor there. So it was fun time had by all. Did get out of there before the fireworks show in Withville and beat the weather home because we got some severe weather down here. I think up north in my old area, they got some nasty stuff too. So I got in, missed the fireworks in Withville, but in my town, there is a local church that has them off every 4th of July, and they did get them in before this major downpour hit. I don't know if they got them all in, but they got a good many in, and watched them from my kitchen window. Who can say that they could see fireworks from their kitchen windows at eye level? I think my wife took a couple of pictures. I don't know if they were good enough to come out. Maybe I'll post them if I was a little bloated yesterday, if you know what I mean. But anyway, sorry to blab on about the events of 4th of Independence Day, the birth of the nation, celebrating 240 years. A birthday to America, and remember, this country was founded on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I hope we stay with that. And after what I've been seeing in the news feeds today, I'm not going to go into it on this show. But maybe I'll start a new show Sunday nights. I'm thinking about it. Where I could just talk about anything, play a few tunes. Hope you like metal, as I do. We'll see. Anyway, give me a call, 646-649-1899. If you happen to have been in Withville and are tuned in, let me know what you did yesterday for your... Or if you haven't just been in Withville, if you had a nice... If you had a decent outing with the family or anything you did, give me a shout-out, 646-649-1899. We'll put you right through. Just that we'll see how that goes. Anyway, back to the events of motorsports. Well, let's see what's coming up before we get into the recap of the event and the preview of the picks for Kentucky. In action is the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series. They'll be in action this coming weekend as well. At the Route 66 Raceway for the K&N Filters Route 66 Nationals at Chicago. So remember good old Route 66, get your kicks on Route 66, the Mother Road. On the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series will be out there. Anyway, let's recap the points. Nobody's clinched playoff berths yet. Oh, wait a second. Pro Stock did. Now nobody in the Nitro divisions did. It's still open. But look for that to happen pretty soon. There's been the season's half over. There's But 12 of 24 events have been complete with Norwalk, Ohio, the latest one. Anyway, in the points, it's Doug Kalita, Antron Brown, Steve Torrance, and Brittany Force are your top four. Tony Schumacher in fifth, Sean Langdon in sixth, seventh, J.R. Todd. Eighth, Clay Milliken. Ninth, Richie Crampton. And 10th, Leah Pritchett. Right now, those are your countdown to the championship people. But Leah is slightly, is only about 24 points ahead of 11th place Terry McMillan, so there could be a shift there. Both run for Don Schumacher. As a matter of fact, four of the top 10 are for with Schumacher. So and Terry McMillan was also with Don Schumacher. So there's your bubble battle there between Leah Pritchett, who started with Vandegrift Racing, and then that closed up. And after she got her first win, believe it or not, her first Top Fuel win, which has been a year of the ladies in the NHRA, the only woman who hasn't really won this year is our good friend Erica Enders. And well, she won a good bit last year, but she's having a tough time this year. We've had her on. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. But she's having an off year with all the new stuff. Of course, Mopar and Dodge coming on board to help her out after running Chevys for, I guess, few years. The original team she was with, and then going to Elite, ran Camaros. So that way, so they not only went to EFI, went from the carburetors with a big hood scoop to electronic fuel injection, but they also changed manufacturers, which is tough for anybody. I mean, John Force had to do that a couple years ago. Last year was a relearning year. They when Ford pulled out, they went to Chevy in the funny car division. Probably had the same motor in the Top Fuel. Brittany running for her father as a Top Fuel driver. The only JFR racer to do so. So with the family business being in funny car, Brittany decided to break the mold. And it's kind of a good thing this way, you know, other people from the same team could take home a Wally on the same day that have beaten each other up till the finals. It's always good when the in the funny car division, though, when you have both your teammates separated on the ladder and then you're meeting up in the final. But, so Brittany decided to say, well, you know, why battle my teammates? I'll battle the rest of the competition as well instead of my teammates. Instead of having to, because you figure if she went funny car, she would have to battle Dad, Sister Courtney, Team President Robert Height, or a foursome in there. Now, depending on what Ashley does, of course, she was a little shy of a championship, which, to have a baby, and then she wound up having a second baby. So, good for her and family life and, you know, it was, it's always good to have the forces. Now it's a little tough getting them on. So, but there was a time, started in 2009 when we had Robert Hype and John Force, Ashley Force Hood. And when we came down here, was able to get Courtney and Brittany, which led me on to Erica Enders and Richie Trampin and Sean Langdon. So we've been Larry Dixon. We're talking serious championship players here. In the funny car division, I think I babbled on enough about the Top Fuel. Ron Capps has a 130-point lead over Courtney Force. She's the top-running JFR driver this season. Her and Brittany did share the top spot in points for a while, but now Brittany has gone down the fourth after her win at the Four Wide Nationals. It was her second event win of the season, which helped her in the points. And Courtney was up there for a while. And they've been having a couple of streak of luck issues. You spin the tires, something breaks. Somebody runs a little quicker. But she's hanging on. She's 130 points back. When the seeding for the countdown continues, that's a six-race chase type of deal where there's no eliminators there. You just run in the six races. If you retain and maintain the points lead by the finale, then Championship Wally, which is a bigger version of the event winner. And you're reigning the last fancy-dancy championship top. Another big check, you know. You know what I'm talking about. That's what it's all about. The event wins are cool. Championships are cooler. But Ronnie Capps has a 130-point lead over second-place Courtney Force. Fast Jack Beckman, 143 back, and defending champ, Del Worsham, he's fourth with 204 back. Tommy Johnson Jr., fifth. Sixth, Matt Hagen, who's from nearby Christiansburg, Virginia. Maybe we can get him on somewhere. Seventh, Tim Wilkerson. Eighth, Robert Height. Ninth, John Force. 16-time champion, John Force. That's right, the greatest drag racer of all. And Alexis DeGioia rounds out the 10. And she's got a 140-point lead over 11th place Chad Head. So there's your championship standings for Funny Car. And we head down to Pro Stock. Playoff contenders right now that are locked in, that are clinched a countdown spot. There are the teammates, Jason Line and Greg Anderson. Line having the better year, but not by much, than Greg Anderson. I think a lot of number one qualifying spots for Line over Anderson, get some bonus points and more event wins. And he's got a 115-point lead over Greg. Bo Butner sits third. He's another teammate of theirs, but he's got a little work to do. Fourth, old veteran, former champ, Alan Johnson. Drew Skillman. Sixth, Vincent Nobile of Elite Motorsports. Drew Skillman, who I thought was with Elite Motorsports, is not with Elite Motorsports. He's with somebody else, but Nobile is now with Elite Motorsports. The reason why I say that, he's also teammates with Jake Coughlin and Erica Ender Stevens. Nobile, the only one driving a Chevy. Coughlin and Ender's driving Dodges. But we'll get to where they're at. Chris McGahey, 7th. Shane Gray, 8th. Is Alex Lachlan. And 11th is Erica Ender Stevens. She's only 9 points out of the 10th spot, so that's her goal, to get into that top 10 so she can get into the countdown. If she can get into the countdown, and the strides for making changes would be starting to pay off. She has only been to the second round maybe two or three times, with the last time being in Norwalk. She's pretty much excellent reaction time off the tree. So it would be great to see her get into that top 10 and at least get up the ladder enough to make it look good. A championship would be tough, but it's doable. Figuring when they reseed, there's only a 30-point distance between first and second, and then at each subsequent position after that in the countdown is 10 points behind the one prior. So that can be made up by the end of the year. The first year she had to, she made it into the countdown and with two races to go in the regular season, did not make the field, did not opted out of running the last two events and came back to win the championship in the last race of the season. Now that's impressive. Last year she got the lead and held it all the way through to show what good her talent is. And they had the car. So they prove how good she was. Well, I knew she was good. It was just a matter of whether they can get the equipment under her to do it. And they did. This year is another learning curve. If I win the lottery, I'm playing that Mega Million. It's up or off. It's almost half of, that's about $390 million right now. But I think I'd write her a check to put Garage Talk Live on her vehicle for the whole year. I think she'd be happy with that. My wife might not. I just want to do it just to say I've done it. You know, one of those things you got to do because you just want to do it. I thought about a NASCAR vehicle. The only one I might consider doing are friends of mine that make motorsports. They're underfunded. They finished, we'll get to that as well. They were underfunded and finished 12th a couple weeks ago, which is their second highest finish ever. So, shout out to my friends at Make Motorsports. Travis Quapple driving the number 50 Chevrolet. We'll get him back on. So, again, I figured I'd just watch the race. Go ahead, not try to book a guest. I'm sure everybody that was involved participating wanted some time off, be with their families this Independence Day. And, you know, it's just one of those days that just don't work out. But if you do get somebody, it's usually one of the single drivers that doesn't have much to do. Anyway, so you don't have to hear me babble on, that's why I would like to have a guest. But the top 11 being it's that close, there's the bubble, Lachlan and Enders. Going into Norwalk, not Norwalk, Chicago, I'd like to see Erica get past the second round, make it to the semifinals, and into the finals. Maybe they can get something figured out there. And once she starts doing that, I think it'll start striking fear into the opponents. Because really, she's only 67 points out of 7. So she could jump some folks there. Her teammate in ninth is only 38 away. That's a bonus. That's qualifying bonus plus an early exit for Coughlin. and a run to the and a Wally win for Erica. You can make that ground up in a weekend. Pro Stock Motorcycle, which I really haven't dwelled on. Eddie Krawick and Andrew Hines battling each other. Gerald Savoie, third. He's in a tie with second with Andrew Hines. The two Harley riders at the top are always at the top. So when somebody like a Hector Arana or senior or junior get up there, then it's pretty good. Fourth is Angel Sampe. She is the winningest woman NHRA competitor. She's been doing it forever. She's got, and it's on a Pro Stock motorcycle, which doesn't compete at every Mellow Yellow event that the rest of them do. So she made good use of what she had. Of course, she took some time off, I guess, to raise some kids, which women competitors are wont to do and then decide to come back, but had a few off years, but they're not really competing this year. She's making a good run of it, so she's driving the Buell, riding the Buell. So you got two Harleys, a Suzuki, and then three Buells. It's Angel, Chip Ellis, Hector Arana, senior riding Buells. So there seems to be a lot of Buells in the Pro Stock motorcycle class. I count 7 out of 15. That's half of the regular field that's in the points competition. So, but the top two are the Harleys. In the 8th spot, well, let's go there. It's Angel Sampe in 4th, 5th, Chip Ellis, 6th, Hector Arana Sr., 7th, Ellie Tonglet, and a Suzuki, Matt Smith, and a victory, one of the threes, actually the only victory in the top 15. In 8th, 9th, Scott Polacek, and 10th is Steve Johnson. On the bubble, there's a 2-point difference between Steve Johnson and Michael Ray, so that's the one to watch. Towards the end of the year, when they get to Indianapolis, that's pretty much the cutoff for the Mellow Yellow regular season. On Friday night, they ran the Xfinity Subway Firecracker 250, powered by Coca-Cola. That's the title of the race, folks. That's not me just blurting off sponsors for nobody. But that's how it's presented. So that's all reported. At Daytona, ended under caution. Had to go to the tail of the video to see where the field crossed the last timing line. They have them spread out to where they engage and go back to see who has the lead when the field gets to X, Y, or Z. So after review, the big winner was the number 98, driven by Florida native and a fresh from Florida Ford. Sounds like a orange juice bit, but not. But I guess the state as a whole. Eric Amarola taking the checkered flag, getting an Xfinity Daytona win. Anytime you get a Daytona win, it's one of the tracks. I don't care what division you're in or what series you run, whether it's the sports car, you know, the GT cars, NASCAR, even, you know, road course. You want to win the Daytona. So Eric Amarola gets the win, holding off car number 7 of Little Gator, Justin Allgaier. He was credited with 2nd, 3rd, Ryan Sieg, Joey Logano, 4th, 5th, Brendan Gaughan, Ryan Reed, 6th, Jeff Green, 7th, GMS driver, Spencer Gallagher was 8th, Chase Elliott in the number 88 with Junior Motorsports in the 9th spot, and 10th was Joe Gibbs, rookie driver, Eric Jones. The race took a whopping 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 29 seconds. The average speed was 121 miles per hour. They did go over time, 103 laps. It's only a 2.5-mile track, so 100 laps were the original scheduled distance. And needless to say, it still wound up under caution. There were 8 cautions for 33 laps. 19 lead changes amongst 12 drivers. That's the good thing about restrictor plate racing. If there is the fact that there are a lot of lead changers and lead changes, and believe it or not, with 12 drivers, that's a good bit of leaders. Figure with the draft and who's getting the run on the high lane and the low lane and who's pushing who. That you can get guys making a run and in the lead. Now, of course, you also have the potential for the big one. Lap 16, which went through, it was a good size one there. Went through about a dozen cars involved. Then lap 103 was about a half a dozen cars after everybody gets banged up from the first really big one. Then you got smaller ones. Those are all driving bunched up in a pack, so have a thing. Anyway, there's your winner, Eric Amarola, getting credited with the win because he just happened to be in the lead time. So here's Eric.
Coca-Cola. This is the number 98 fresh from Florida 14. We are joined by the race winning crew chief, John Hansen. John, this is your first win. Atop the pit box, talk a little bit about getting that victory today.
Well, we just...
I think here we have it, Eric Amarola.
All right, if I could have your attention. We are now joined by Eric Amarola, driver of number 43 Smithfield Ford in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. This is a special track for Eric. He got his first Sprint Cup Series.
That was just a preliminary interview during the press conferences. I think they aired it that way. But anyway, Amarola taking the win. There. The Xfinity points right now is Daniel Suarez leading in the top spot with a 6-point lead over Elliott Sadler. Ty Dillon, who is up there now in third, 26, he's 16 out. Justin Allgaier, 4th. Brendan Gaughan is 5th. Eric Jones, he's 6th. 7th is Brandon Jones. 9th, 8th is Brennan Poole. 9th, Darrell Wallace Jr. And 10th, Ryan Reed. There is a chase for the Xfinity and the Truck Series, so I'm sure they'll be reseeded according to wins and then points. In which case, Eric Jones will get the top seed because he has 2 wins. Suarez and Elliott Sadler will be 2nd and 3rd, even though they both have 1 win. The tiebreaker is the points, so Suarez with that 6-point lead, but it's still early yet. So, just have to wait and see where that goes. Anyway, I said they'll be in the next Xfinity race. Will be this weekend at Kentucky for the Kentucky 300. It'll be Friday night, the 8th, on NBC Sportsnet. Of course, NBC took over NASCAR coverage for the second half of the year from Fox Sports. So you can catch that there at 8:30. It's the scheduled drop of the green flag. So I'm sure there will be some pre-race about a half an hour before. It's usually how it goes. So catch the Xfinity Series this coming Friday night. And if you're a race fan, or if you're like me, you got to watch the stuff for the show or your own show. If you're on your own show, different story. Anyway, catch them Friday night on NBC. I say, and check your local listings for your actual channel number. I have DirecTV, so it is 218, I believe. 219 is Fox Sports 1. So they like to keep them close together. I have to double check, but pretty sure that's mine. Series, the big event of the weekend. The Coke Zero 400, powered by Coca-Cola. Duh. I couldn't. Who couldn't figure that one out? It did come down to a late race shootout with overtime coming because on lap 156, I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name. Ryan Blaney, Carl Edwards, AJ Allmendinger, and the 32 of Bobby Labonte were involved in a wreck to bring out a late yellow. The race only scheduled for 160 laps. They wound up throwing the green with looked like two laps to go. They were saying overtime, but I don't know how it was overtime because the race ended one lap over the scheduled distance. I guess they considered it overtime because it was going to go past the scheduled distance. But if you throw the green with two laps to go, or one lap to go, actually, they threw the green, they came around for the white, and then the next lap was the checker, which threw it on the completion of the 161st lap. So they wanted to say it was overtime, but it wasn't. But either way, that's what it came down to. The race was pretty much owned by Brad Keselowski. He led nine times for 115 laps, which is pretty much, you know, two-thirds of the race. The next lap leader in double digits was Kyle Busch. So Keselowski, even though he led the most laps, he did get the win but had to earn it. There was a restart against Kyle Busch, so it came down to who was pushing who at the end. Keselowski choosing the outside line on the restart instead of the inside. Had Joey Logano pushing him. Kyle Busch had Trevor Bayne on the inside. That's where he finished pushing him. And off they go. And Keselowski was able to get away from Kyle Busch and hold him off, which is kind of hard to do. Kyle Busch on restarts is pretty darn good. He's one of the few guys you might not want to restart against or have him anywhere near you, because chances are he can get around you. But this time, things work out for Brad Kay, getting him his first restrictor plate win at Daytona. He's won four times on a restrictor plate track, but that was all Talladega. So this is his first Daytona win. And he's giving another Daytona win for Roger Penske. Joey Logano did it last year in the Daytona 500. This year, Brad Keselowski did it in the Coke Zero 400. Of course, the 500 is more prestigious, but either way, Penske's got two Daytona wins under his belt with his current drivers. So, chalk up another one for the captain. Said Kyle Busch second, Trevor Bayne, excellent run, taking third. Joey Logano fourth, Ricky Stenhouse fifth, sixth. Kyle Larson, Austin Dillon seventh, Greg Biffle eighth. Ninth was Clint Bowyer, 10th Michael McDowell. And just looking at it, you have the top 10. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Fords. And I haven't seen this many Fords in the top 10 in quite a few races. So Ford making a comeback, I guess. Good race to do it. They were running good all weekend anyway. So it was only fair. Your pole sitter was a Ford, Greg Biffle, was his best weekend of the year in a while. Starting the pole with an eighth place finish. Of course, not to be outdone, Kurt Busch, who was running up with brother Kyle, actually Kurt had a nice, was leading for a little bit as well, I believe. Let me find out where he finished. He wasn't leading. At least not at the line to get credited with leading a lap. He wound up in a little kerfuffle with Joey Logano. And, of course, if you check all the tweets and news feeds, there's a little bit of Kurt not being happy with Logano. Logano drawn the ire of some fellow drivers this year. So, 5 cautions for 28 laps. The first one, competition caution, was rain washing the rubber off the track between the Xfinity race and the Cup race. The big one kicking off, the first real caution, competition related, not a competition caution. At lap 91, a whole bunch of cars, Truex, the 10, Chase Elliott, the 7 of Derek's, Reagan Smith, 20th of Kenseth, the 27th of Bernard, the 44, the 4, the 16 of Biffle. He was in it, but he wasn't too banged up because he wound up finishing 8th. The 15, the 23, the 31, the 1 of Jamie McMurray, the 42 of Amarola, 48 of Jimmy Johnson, 34 Dale Jr. involved in a little bit. Casey Kane, the 35, the 46, the 98, and the 83. Tony Stewart, who took the win in Sonoma, looking to get into that top 30 in points. Was in a good spot, running real well near the front. Was well into the top 30 in points. And he wound up cutting the tire, getting loose, cutting the tire, and hitting the wall. So right now, he is in the 30th spot on the bubble. So he's in the chase. And when I go to the chase grid outlook, he would be seated 11th. Because he's in the 30th in points. But he's got to stay there till Richmond. Like I said, there were five cautions for 28 laps, which was fairly clean for a Daytona race. 26th lead changes amongst 13 drivers. Again, even though Keselowski led a lot, when the lead changes started happening, it got to pretty good. Keselowski now in the Chase Grid Outlook, just started to put it up in order that way with the seating being proper. Brad Kay and Kyle Busch tied in wins. Brad Kay with a tiebreaker having more points. Edwards and Jimmy Johnson in that order, tied in wins, tiebreaker points for Edwards. Then you have Harvick, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, Truex, Hamlin, Kenseth, and Stewart, all with one win each and seeded according to their points. And then those without wins, 12 through 16, you have five drivers looking to lock that in, but it's Chase Elliott in 12th, Austin Dillon 13th, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who I picked for this past weekend, got involved in a little bit of a fender bender, 14th, 15th, Ryan Newman and Ryan Blaney. Heading to Kentucky, I'm looking at a bunch of Gibbs cars in top 10. I don't know who. I'm either leaning toward, and also a couple of Penske cars. Well, all the Penske cars in the top 10. And rounding out was a couple of Stuart Haas with one Hendrick Motorsports car. So, that being said, who do I think is going to take it? I don't know. I might want to go. I'm going to lean this week. I know Kyle Busch took the win last year, but I think I might go with cousin Carl Edwards. So, hope you enjoyed listening to me babble on for a little while. This has been Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. Oh, I hope you had a good week and safe weekend. We'll see you all next week. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Listen to me. Good afternoon and good racing. Bye now.